The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news medias don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance on this 13th day of November, 2025. And I just thought of something. Today's my brother's birthday.
Uh-oh.
So happy birthday, Ray. I haven't wished him a happy birthday for years, and yet he keeps having them. But happy birthday, Ray. There you go. And tonight, back there, we got him in the glass cage, our producer, the none other than Style.
Hey, Pastor, how are you?
I'm hanging in here tonight. We got a full studio, and starting from, I don't know, center right. I'm going to start with center right tonight, and we have none other. She does more work than she should be physically able to. I think this is supernatural. Mm. Would you guys say that Lisa's supernatural?
Yeah.
Because she shouldn't be able to get as much work done as she does with her physical condition, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, hello, little Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
There you go. You got it done. All right. And the other two rights, because there's no left allowed or tolerated here, we have my longtime friend. He's a preacher. He was a pastor. He was an author. And a co-host, Pastor Richard Lewis.
Welcome, everyone. Glad to be here.
And here he is. He's a dandy. His name's Randy. He is America's number one elder.
Good evening, everybody. Our God reigns.
With all of that stuff, we'll get it done tonight, huh?
That's right.
Now, we got to get prepared because we know that the opposition is really wanting, does not want us on the radio program. And every now and then, I've got that, I almost can feel it when we're going to do something that we know that is going to cause the opposition to come against us. So with that, would you too, Richard, would you start by opening us in prayer that we are in total obedience and compliance with God's will tonight.
Yes, let us go. Dear Father God, we come before thy throne right now to just lift you up as a wonderful, loving God and just the God of all creation. And we just thank you, Lord, and we ask for your guidance tonight. We pray that we can accomplish your will on this program this evening as we go through what we have planned. Let your plans come out above that, and to be able to touch the hearts of those. Most important thing is salvation. We know that. And for anyone that's not saved, that's listening tonight, we pray that you listen very carefully so that you would be drawn to Jesus Christ and his bleeding side and be saved today. And we just thank you, Lord, and we just pray a hedge of protection around this place and around this program tonight as it goes out on the airwaves to be able to protect us from any of the arrows from Satan, whatever he may throw at us. We just pray that your hedge of protection would keep those out and allow this program to go smoothly, but according to your will, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray and continue with Randy.
Amen. Father God, we just come before you, Lord God. According to your word in Philippians, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. The Lord is at hand, and it says to be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And so, Father God, we first of all come before you saying thank you. Thank you that you are sovereign. Thank you that you are in control. Thank you that you have an ear to hear the righteous, Lord God. For the word of God says that that you hear the prayers of the righteous. And we thank you that we're not just praying to the ceiling, praying to the sky, but that you sit high, you look low, and you're concerned about your people. Well, Father God, we know that your word also says that the kingdom of God is suffereth violence, and the violent, they take it by force. And so, Father God, we are praying tonight. We're making our request known that you might fill us again with your Holy Spirit, Father God, because what we're facing right now, Lord God, the demonic attacks, Lord God, they are ramped up because the enemy knows that his time is short. And Father God, short of your power, short of you standing through us, Lord God, and for us, Lord God, we could do nothing. But we know that you are on our side. And Father God, we are on yours, Lord God. We want to see this enemy defeated. And so, Father God, from coast to coast, we just pray, Father God, that your Holy Spirit would move not only on us in here, but fellow believers that are praying for this station and praying, Father God, for your will to be done. And we know that according to your word, you said that he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. You also said that, Father God, if we would drink of that living water, Father God, we would never thirst. And so, Father God, we tonight again, we ask, Father God, for we know that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And be with us, be with this radio station, be with Pastor tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Randy. We have a prayer request. Bill in Berea is in the hospital. He has trouble breathing, and he's on a ventilator. And it's not looking good. Now, we're not sure if Bill's saved or not, so I'm going to ask all you folks out there coast to coast, out there, every one of you listening to me tonight, either needs prayer now or are going to need prayer in the future. And remember what the Bible teaches. Those that show mercy receive mercy. So join with me to help here, because there's power in prayer. See, if you really believe, there's power. But you got to believe. Okay?
That's right.
And so it works every time if you believe. So join with me. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just want to, I don't know, Bill, but I just want to hold Bill up and ask Father God, Lord, that you would bless him in tonight's situation. Lord, if he is not saved, then that's what we're asking for now, Lord. We're asking that this be the very, very night that he repent of his sin and he calls upon the name of the Lord and receives eternal life. And then we know that that's the first blessing. He has to receive that one, and then, Lord God, he can receive a total and complete healing. But whatever your perfect will is, that's what our will is, that whatever your perfect will is for Bill, Lord, that is what you do here with him, Father God. And I ask that you be a comfort to the city, to the family, to the friends and the family. And again, I want to say happy birthday to my brother Ray out there. May this be a blessed, blessed birthday for you. These things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We're going to go right back. Remember, the title of the message was to be bound, but bind up the tares and throw them in the fire. And so we're going to be picking it up where we left off in Matthew chapter 23. And we'll start actually at verse 29 through 36. So go ahead, Randy. Would you want to read verses 29 through 36?
29. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them ye shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Berechias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation.
Over the years, Richard, you and I both have been, people have said, well, we're hellfire preachers. Well, but boy, compared to, now that right there was the Lord Jesus, and he was preaching some hellfire, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah. Hell
here,
hot is for sure.
By referring to them as a generation of vipers, mm-hmm. What he is doing is he's associating them with a serpent, okay, mm-hmm. with the devil himself. Mm-hmm. And here he's talking about saying, look, they're saying, well, we wouldn't have done what our fathers did, okay? And the Lord Jesus looked upon their hearts, and he knew exactly what they would do, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And he let them know flat out right now, mm-hmm. you would do, and in fact, you're going to crucify me, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these are the same people that later on chant, crucify him, mm-hmm. and lay this to our charge and our children.
Yeah, let his blood be upon us and our children.
Yeah, this mm-hmm. is the same group.
Yeah, and it was. It was, and I mean, throughout history, they wondered why the persecution was so great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Some of them have figured it out, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Turn over to Mark chapter 9.
Pastor, real quick, before you move on, I just wanted to say something on that. It says that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zacharias. One of the things that people don't understand, and you know that, you know, we stand out in front of those abortion mills, is that blood has a voice.
Yep.
And he told Abel, going all the way back to, he told Cain. He asked Cain, where is your brother Abel? Mm-hmm. And he had told him in that dialogue or whatnot that your brother's blood is crying out. And people, they kind of miss that. And so all of these aborted babies and even the politicians that are in there now that are part and parcel to the taking of lives, you need to understand that blood, it has a voice, and God has an ear that is tuned to that blood. And there's going to be a day of reckoning, and it's coming soon.
There is. Randy, years ago, when we, all the way back in the very early 70s, Richard remembers when we first started this radio program over 50 years ago,
mm-hmm.
we were the only pro-life voice. I mean, the only pro-life voice that I knew of, in other words, on a daily basis on the radio. Okay,
yeah.
And boy, I'm going to tell you, that really got the ear of the wicked. I mean, they were angry. I mean, mm-hmm. really angry. But you have to understand here, that's killing of the children is America's national sin.
Mm-hmm.
That court in 1973 that were supreme only in their rebellion against God, only in their sin.
Mm-hmm.
That court was only supreme in their sin. And what they did is literally, they said, what God has made unlawful, we will make lawful the killing of the innocent, okay? Mm-hmm. And the transgression of God's dominion, the destruction of his very image. And remember, when God gave us the 5 points of divine human government, the third point, the most important point, the entire purpose, of human government was to preserve the image of God, that being man.
Mm.
And that court violated, and all of those that went along with it, and all of those today.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, there was one entity in this country, one entity that had the power to shut it down right away. And they failed God, and that was the church. That was the pulpit. They failed God. Judgment begins in the house of God, and in that house, in that pulpit, and they failed God miserably.
Yeah. Okay.
the pastors did not have the courage, they did not have the backbone that they needed to stand up. And and there was only a very small percentage of us that did, that, that stood and fought. And a lot of us went to jail for doing it, but we did it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Anyhow, let's go now to Mark chapter 9. And in Mark chapter 9, verses 42 through 50. Richard, would you read verses 42 through 50?
Certainly. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes and be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. For every one shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another.
Okay, so now you have a lot of your so-called liberal theologians, and of course the liberals out there, the heathens that are biblically illiterate. They're going to say, "Are you kidding me? Are you here? He's telling you to cut off your hand or to pluck out your eye." The Lord Jesus was speaking. He was using symbolism. The symbolism there was whatever it is that's causing you to sin. Whatever it is, stop it. Okay.
Yeah.
In other words, so he tells you this. He shows you the importance, and he's telling you. Not to sin, because he's telling you about the horrors of hell, right? And whatever is causing you to stumble, what's causing you to sin, whatever is keeping you from repenting of your sins and calling upon the name of the Lord, okay, is what he's telling you here. You know, it's an interesting thing because he tells you twice there, he says, where the worm never dieth. I knew a soldier. I had a situation when I was in the military. I was in the jungle, and I got malaria. The worst case, the doc there told me it was the worst case he'd ever seen of malaria. It was a bad case of malaria. And anyhow, and out there there was a little, it was a strange, it was almost weird in a way, but out in the middle of no place, there was this, the army had a hospital. It wasn't a real hospital. It was kind of like an aid station. But it was actually had three stories high. And basically, mostly, you would have people like emergency cases of natives and that out there. But here I got that, and I was out in the jungle, so that's where I went. And there was, wouldn't you believe it or not, there was only one other soldier in there. And there must have been like 20 beds on that floor. And instead of putting me one of those, you know, apart, he put me right next to these. They put me right next to the other fellow. And he actually had worms. And there was a worm that they never saw a case like this yet. He had got him out there in the jungle from sitting on a stump.
Oh, man.
And you could see him. His legs and his backside, where they would crawl, Richard. Under the skin, they would be like a road mat. And then when they would stop, they would lay their eggs. But while they were on the move, and they would all move at the same time, they would eat. They were eating him.
Oh,
and that's
man.
How, and he was in a lot of pain. So they tried freezing him. That didn't work. They tried electrocuting him. That didn't work. They tried various things. But the only thing that would work is if he sweat. They noticed, he found out when he was sweating, they stopped. If he was sweating profusely, so they actually, it was where I was out there. It was hot. I wanted to know, because this didn't have any glass windows. This is all screens up there, and it was very, very hot in there. But you did get a breeze to come through. But they actually gave him warm beer, and he drank a lot of warm beer, and he sweat a lot. And that's what would keep them from eating and crawling. Mm. And so check this out. He almost got me. I'm there for 3 days straight.
Mm.
He begged me. He had a theory. His theory was, if you were to pour lighter fluid on his backside and then light it just for an instant and then beat it out with a pillow, he had a theory that somehow that would kill them under the skin. And he wanted me to do that. And I said, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to set you on fire. Have you lost your mind?
Yeah.
I can't, and so finally after three, I couldn't take it anymore. I said, all right, I'll do it. We hadn't seen a medic up there. You know, you'd see a medic maybe twice a day.
Yeah.
And here, of all the times, not only did we see a medic, here I let him up. And just as I'm beating him out, here comes two medics.
Oh, man.
And they said, wow, wait till the captain hears about this. Wow. And I mean, and they couldn't wait to tell the captain. They rushed down there. And pretty soon they come up, and I was called down. As soon as I got myself together, I was called down there. And the captain says, you were destroying government property. I says, no. I said, let me tell you. I said, I couldn't take it. 3 days, you put me right next to him. So this guy, he got out of bed, came down there in his underwear. And he said, it's totally my fault. I begged him. I'm so sorry, but I begged him. I wouldn't stop. And he told me no for 3 days. And so the captain said, all right, that's, I'm just going to forget about this whole thing, okay? There was only like five of us there at the whole place, okay?
Yeah.
And but I could have got, court-martialed for that,
Wow.
And but the thing, the whole point of it was, let me go back to that.
There was a point here. Wait a minute.
Wait, hey.
Where the worm dieth not, yeah, and the fire is not quenched. He's telling you, now in some places that when they have that, they interpret that as maggots, okay? Mm-hmm. But here, this guy, I saw what happens when you're eaten by worms. When you're eaten by worms, yeah. I saw what happened, okay? And boy, I'm going to tell you, it wasn't pretty to see. So they finally sent him to Walter Reed.
Mm.
And they didn't want us, Walter Reed didn't want to take him until they had some idea what it was, this worm, because they didn't want to bring something new in, okay?
Right.
But they finally sent him to Walter Reed, and I lost contact with him, but he was being treated, and I believe they got rid of those worms. It was a horrible thing, though.
Wow.
Ooh.
So, Pastor, for the invitation tonight, anybody that doesn't accept Christ will just let them know that you're going to set them on fire.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. We'll be back after this. Listen to this.
I am holding in my hand the Muslim Brotherhood plan for the destruction of the United States. The title of the plan is an explanatory memorandum for the general strategic goal for the group, the Muslim Brotherhood in North America, written 5/22/1991. Understanding the role of the Muslim Brother in North America. The process of settlement is a civilization jihadist process with all the word means. The Akhwan, which is the Arabic word for brothers, must understand that their work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within and sabotaging its miserable house by their hands and the hands of the believers so that it is eliminated and Allah's religion is made victorious over all other religions. They don't mince words, do they? But the most important page of this document is the last page. They list 29 front Islamic organizations set up in the United States with the specific goal of sabotaging America from within and destroying America by our own hands. Number one on the list is ISNA, Islamic Society of North America. They are now advisors to President Obama about Middle East policy. So we not only have the Fox watching the hen house, we have the Fox in inside the White House dictating policy in the ear of the president.
So if we come back to the beginning, if you show this to a Muslim, he's going to tell you conspiracy theory.
Right, but we have legitimate documents about it. Any true conspiracy for me to find it worth weight is the ones that are hiding in plain sight. It's the ones where they tell you, this is what we're here to do. Like World Economic Forum. It's like, hey, you won't own your house and you'll be happy. It's like, thank you for telling me, Satan, what you're about to do before you do it. No, thank you. These people are doing the same thing. They have a document. It's out there. They're working strategically in organizations.
You know, going all the way back to 1990, remember Pat Buchanan? We had Pat Buchanan on the program. Richard, you probably remember.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about that even back then. There were we sent out a number of DVDs showing the locations and actually showing jihadist training, showing them right here in America. There's over 90 different locations at that time in America where the jihadists were training on America, but the and they were under, you know, observation. The FBI was watching them, but they did nothing. They allowed them to do that. Today they're much bigger, and so remember, there is an unholy confederacy, and people need to know that, an unholy confederacy between radical Islam. And, in fact, tomorrow, Lord's willing, we're going to play another clip and show you exactly how they do that. Mm-hmm. Between radical Islam and also between the Communist Party, which are Democrats today. The mm-hmm. Democrats and the radical Islam, you notice when they're out there to protest, they're all out there together, okay? And here, right here at the studio, sitting right outside that window there on the driveway, five different times, we had a limousine, stretch limousine, pull up here and sit right there 15 minutes before I get off the air. And they roll the windows down. The windows are all tinted black. And they're all wearing those headbands and sunglasses. And they would just sit there and stare at me. They did that five different times. And as soon as I would go off the air, I would jump up and run out. I wanted to confront them. And they would wait till they saw me get as far as to the front door there, then they would take off.
Mm-hmm.
And the one time I come out there, I saw that. And by the time I got out there, they were gone, but Independence police car was sitting there. Mm-hmm. And the sergeant told me, you know, they're watching you. I said, yeah, I know that. And he said, well, we're watching them. And so after that, when they realized the police were sitting there watching them, they quit coming out here.
Hmm.
But anyhow, we have some articles.
Mm-hmm.
And the cartels control tribal lands in California. They impose narco slavery. Sheriff Matt Kendall estimates up to 80% of illicit cannabis in Mendocino County is harvested in the Round Valley floor. Again, driving up the steep, windy road from station in Ukiah, Mendocino County, Sheriff Matt Kendall stops his pickup at a pullout overlooking California's Round Valley. It's where the trouble begins and never ends, he told the Epic Times. A Native American sovereignty and California's policies that SHIELD illegal immigrants have allowed Mexican drug cartels to swoop in on tribal lands of the Round Valley Indian tribes in a confederation of several tribes, the sheriff said. The valley is well known for illegal marijuana on tribal lands. It's like, we have, and I don't think the country is anywhere near informed about to the extent that we have these drug cartels on our property. And the Democrat Communist Party in this country, every time that you have the ICE agents or the DEI or whoever trying to go after them, the Democrats are in cahoots. You know, they come to the aid of the drug cartels who are killing millions.
Yeah.
They're willing to sacrifice their own children because those that hate God love death, and they hate God.
Yeah, they do.
You got an article there, Richard.
Yeah, this is this goes along with what you're talking about. It says President Donald Trump has included in the Oval Office goals to fight the terror-like antics of Antifa. It was just weeks ago the president said, "I am pleased to inform our many USA patriots that I am designated Antifa, a sick, dangerous, radical left disaster, as a major terrorist organization. I will also be strongly recommending that those funding Antifa will be thoroughly investigated in accordance with the highest legal standards and practices." He notes Antifa is a antichrist enterprise that calls for the overthrow of the United States government, law enforcement authorities, and our system of law using illegal means, including violence and terrorism, and to accomplish these goals. Trump ordered at the time the federal government to investigate, dismantle all illegal operations conducted by Antifa or any person claiming to act on behalf of Antifa.
So, you know, we gotta support them. They gotta crack down on them. You know, it was an interesting thing how when they were coming after us, when they were arresting pro-lifers for saving babies for doing God's work, okay, when they were going after homeschoolers or going after people who confronted the school boards, we didn't have riots. We didn't riot and go out and kill people and that. They remember what Lunacharsky said? Lunacharsky, the great Russian leader, stated that what we need is hate. We must hate. We've got to stop love. Forget this love thy neighbor. Hate works, and this is what the left is doing out there. They promote hate. They talk about killing. You just had another one of these professors, college professors, get fired because he was talking about Charlie Kirk about, ha, 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 he's dead. We got him in the throat. You know, just wicked, evil stuff. I mean, just you had all these people out there talking about killing President Trump. You just had those absolute fools. Was it New York or Virginia where those fools elected that AG, Attorney General? What was that? Virginia, or the one who wanted to kill his competition? I think it might have been Virginia was running.
I think it was.
Yeah, and he wanted to kill not only his opponent, but he wanted to kill his opponent's family and everybody. And they elected him.
And they elected him.
Yeah.
That's as stupid as what New York did.
Yeah, that was Virginia.
Stupid. That's what, it's what I thought, Virginia. That's why. That's why I call them Democrats.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Only Democrats do that type of thing, right?
Right. Yeah.
And then you have the legacy media and these late-night comedians who aren't funny telling you that Antifa is not real. I'm surprised her teeth don't just fall out.
it is amazing. But one of the funniest things I've heard a long time is is Governor Newsom coming out and saying how angry it is and how it upsets him to hear politicians lie.
Yeah. Wow.
Here's a guy that no one has ever heard him tell the truth, okay?
Right.
Here's a guy that just to come out and to make such a statement, it's like you talk about total mockery. Either that or he's nuts, mm-hmm. you know? And here's the other thing that, you know, one of the things it's gotten, and this is a sign of the end times. This is 2 Timothy chapter 3 right here. But it's the profanity that's being used. Mm-hmm. You know, we play a lot of clips, but there's parts of things when people say things that are newsworthy, and we'd like to get it out and share people, mm-hmm. but we can't. Like, I can't even listen to Joe Rogan anymore, you know, because, you know, he's got a dirty mouth.
Gutter gums,
yeah. If you want to call it, yeah. But now I've seen it, and again, I know I've mentioned this before, you know, at least Fox News had integrity. They didn't get down in the gutter. But now that's changing. You got that gum filled mm-hmm. on there, and he's dropped the F-bomb.
Oh, his program is really hard to listen to if you even try thinking you're going to get anything out of it, because the stuff that they discuss is just gross.
He would, you know, you can be funny without being stupid.
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
And, you know, here, there's three reasons that people use profanity. One, they have a very limited vocabulary, okay? Two, there's a limited intellect, too. But number three, they've had a very poor bringing up, okay? Mm. Upbringing, you might say. So those are usually the three reasons why people. Now, here, you actually had these two women coming out, two liberal, what do they call them, bloggers or whatever, wanted to have complete sentences where every word is profanity, where you can't have a sentence, where every single thing, and hear more and more of the profanity. You just had Chuckie Schumer go on a national and drop the F-bomb, you know, and that guy is a dummy. And,
yes.
He's betrayed everything, right? Mm-hmm. He's a Palestinian Jew now. I mean, in other words, he no longer does he support Israel. He's Hamas. Oh, you know, Trump is calling him Hamas now. Chucky Hamas, yeah. Huh. Anyhow, it's gotten pretty bad.
Yes.
But little Lisa, you got an article, Lisa.
Okay, this is by Bob Unruh. Quote, last night, an individual attempted to confront one of our U.S. attorneys, my dear friend, Alina Haba. He destroyed property in her office and then fled the scene, Pam Bondi confirmed on social media. Quote, thankfully, Alina is okay. Any violence or threats of violence against any federal officer will not be tolerated, period. This is unfortunately becoming a trend as radicals continue to attack law enforcement agents around the country. She continued, quote, we will find this person and the individual will be brought to justice. Our federal prosecutors, agents, and law enforcement partners put their lives on the line every day to protect the American people, and this department will use every legal tool available to ensure their safety and hold violent offenders fully accountable, end quote. The attack comes amid numerous calls for violence against federal officials and law enforcement officers by leftists fighting President Donald Trump's law and order agenda. There have been open calls for violence. There have even been death threats against federal prosecutors, federal border enforcement agents, and more, even from Democrat and other leftist officials in cities and states. Hoppe said in a statement, quote, I will not be intimidated by radical lunatics for doing my job, unquote. Haba is responsible for federal criminal prosecutions and civil litigations in New Jersey when the U.S. government has an interest. There are about 150 federal prosecutors and another 130 support personnel working in her office. Details about the suspect and the attack that damaged property were not released immediately.
Well, that Christy Noem, too, had to go for a while on a military base, okay? So, yeah, she had to move on a military base because they were trying to get her. And the other one,
I think they said Mark Rubio, too.
Rubio?
There was a number of them that had to go on a military base.
Wow.
Yeah, for protection.
Yeah. Well, I mean, see, we haven't seen anything this like this. Of course, you and I did back in the 60s. I mean, things got, we had some riots back in those days.
I went through all the Huff riots. I was riding around in my telephone truck with my big screwdriver. That was my protection. And they had a Jeep in front of me with a machine gun on the back of it. Honest to goodness. Right down St. Clair Avenue.
Yeah, and I remember very clearly there. I actually was they we had a youth center over there, and I used to go over there and preach and teach when back then when all that was taking place.
Yeah,
it was some interesting days there. All right, Randy, you have an article there.
Yeah, this is the one we've been waiting for. 40 days too late, but we will never give in. Government shutdown ends with Trump's signature after House passes the bill. It says the longest government shutdown in history is over after President Donald Trump signed a bill to fund the government into law on Wednesday night, just hours after the House of Representatives passed the measure. Today, we're sending a clear message that we will never give in to extortion, Trump said before signing the bill. The Democrats tried to extort our country. The legislation will get our country working again, the president added. The bill passed the lower chamber by a vote of 222 to 209 on Wednesday evening. The measure would fund the entire government at least through January 30th of 2026, while three appropriations bills attached to the continuing resolution will fund segments of the government for the rest of the fiscal year 2026. In Washington, Republicans are rejoicing that the government shutdown ended without giving major concessions to Democrats. For over 6 weeks, Democrats held our country hostage over demands for health care for illegal aliens and to prove to their base they could stand up to President Trump, said Republican Study Committee Chairman August P. Pfluger, representative of Texas, I believe. The Republican Study Committee stood firm in rejecting an extension of COVID-era insurance subsidies that fuel fraud and drive up costs for American families, and in preventing Democrats from using the Christmas holidays to force a wasteful omnibus through Congress. Let me be clear. Democrats gained nothing from their shutdown while hardworking families paid the price. Now it is time to get back to governing and delivering on the mandate we were given by the American people. The Democrats were openly saying that they were leveraging the pain of the American people, all Americans, to try to win a battle that they got nothing for, and they wasted all this time for us to get something done. The only thing Democrat Party got out of this 40-day shutdown is the scaring the crap out of people, causing the most food security in the United States since the Great Depression.
You know, the interesting thing with that is their number one goal, the number one goal for the Democrats was to stop Trump. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's their number one goal, the Trump derangement syndrome. And here, now you have between 45 and 50 million illegal immigrants, and they want to give them health care that a lot of our blue-collar workers in America cannot afford. They can't afford it. The prices are way too high. But the Democrats want to give, and you'll notice, too, that Congress gets the very best health care it is, right? And those,
Oh, yeah.
They want to give away you know, what doesn't belong to them, to these illegals, because those illegals, they're not legal to vote anyhow. So, you know, you can vote often and early as many times as you want. If you get caught, if it's whether it's one or 101, you're going to get the same punishment. And so that's why it was so important, because of election fraud. I mean, and that is the one thing that they're better at than anything else is election fraud. When it comes to election fraud, Democrats are the best. They're the tops.
Well, this article here goes right along with that, and it also ties into what you were talking about, the hate that Democrats have. This hate, it says Democrats insist on one issue is that's most important than climate change, schools, gun violence, health care, or inflation. It's more significant than the economy, taxes, immigration, or abortion. It's a higher priority than crime, morals, or political division. It's fighting President Donald Trump. It's holding out Trump derangement syndrome. It says a full 20% of the Democrats responded saying that standing up to Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans is their most important issue.
You know, and here, but see, they don't know why they hate Trump.
No.
You know, you talk to some of these protesters out there, the screamers.
Right.
And you ask them, what is it that you hate? He's a devil, he's a demon. But what has he done? They can't tell you.
They can't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying, the Trump derangement syndrome. That they're so obsessed with talking about Trump that they don't even know what they're saying anymore.
All they know is Hillary and Obama and Biden say we must stop Trump.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah,
you know, they hear those, the leaders within the collective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were campaigning. They were campaigning on that. They weren't even campaigning on issues. Right. They were campaigning on stopping Trump.
Right.
Period.
And that was all it was. Well, that's the Latina James. That was her main campaign. She ran. George Soros paid the bill, and she ran. If you elect me, I'll stop Trump. I'll put Trump. Okay.
That was all that it was about. Nothing about the economy or why elect you to stop one man? What is, you know?
Yeah.
With Letita, remember what Karl Marx had always accused the opposition of doing what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Everything she accused him of, real estate fraud.
Yes, it came back to haunt her.
It all came back on her to bite her big time.
Okay. So you have the Trump derangement syndrome, and then you also have the Soros arrangement system.
Arrangement, yes.
Yes.
Derangement and arrangement.
An arrangement. Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
That good play on words.
Lawmakers urge Trump administration to back full-on gong suit against Cisco. The two prominent Republican lawmakers are calling on the Trump administration to side up with lawsuit accusing Cisco evading a brutal persecution in China. In a letter dated October 29th, Chairman of the Congressional Executive Commission of China, Chris Smith, and Chairman of the House Select Committee on the Chinese Communist Party, John Molinar, urged the administration to press the Supreme Court so the case could go to trial. Practitioners of Falun Gong filed a case in 2011 alleging that the California tech giant has contributed in no small part to designing and building China's vast surveillance network, exacerbating a sweeping eradication campaign that regime launched against the spiritual group in 1999. Well, if they should, every single, if that's proven, every one of them should be locked up.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
Well, we see a lot of these people should be locked up, and we've been talking about that on the air for how long, and still we're not seeing any real situation like that.
The only things we're still seeing right now, a lot of subpoenas, and there's a whole bunch of them coming down. In fact, one of the main articles we have out there is here. Even PMSNBC announced how that they're calling it a conspiracy thing, but Hillary, Obama, Tapper or Comey, Strzok, they're all getting, all of them are being subpoenaed now, so they're bringing them in. Of course, Comey's in big trouble. He's about to be, I think, has he been indicted? I think he's been indicted, hasn't he?
Okay. I'm not sure. Is it moving forward? Are they moving forward, or is this just being invited in to talk about what they want to talk about? These subpoenas sometimes don't seem to be doing anything.
No, they, not this time. Here, see, this time what happened was that they went ahead with Jack Smith and now Judge Boysberg. He gave them the permission, and he spied upon over 460 Americans, some companies, some organizations, but amongst them were 8 U.S. senators, mm-hmm. all Republican. They went into their emails, they went after their phone records, they spied upon, and now those 8 right now, in fact, in that bill that was just passed yesterday, They have an amendment in there to saying that they can go after and sue the government now. I don't think that they should be able to. I think they should be able to go after and sue the people that did it, not because when they sue the government, the taxpayers pick up the bill.
Right.
And so, but they're going after them. Okay.
Good. I hope so. Justice. Not revenge, justice.
This is criminal activity, on a large scale. And so, I think you're going to see, they have to. Trump has gone this far. Look, Trump knows this, that if he doesn't put them away, the first chance they get to coming after him and his family.
Well, when we screw up, we get locked up real quick, don't we?
Yeah.
But these people go on and on and on.
Yeah. Well, But as long as the cause is a righteous cause, I considered a badge of honor. I've been locked up for preaching the gospel, okay? And so I look at that, those that are better than me, Peter, Paul, John.
Amen.
Much better men than me have got locked up for the same thing, okay?
That's right.
Remember John Bunyan?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Hmm.
And so anyhow, we're coming up to a break. When we come back, we got a whole lot of stuff to cover here tonight. And we got to get her done, don't we? And
so, yes.
And so, anyhow, Style's going to do a countdown right about now. Ready?
You get 10, to hear the numbers.
9, 8, 7, 6, 5,
6,
3, 2, 9.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.